being thankful to God is good, isn't it? Yeah, it's good. It's good for you, too. Did you know that? Being thankful to God is good for you as well. Thankfulness is good because it gives credit where credit is due. It gives credit to God for all of our many blessings, and that's good. Thankfulness is important. It's an important part of worship. It helps us remember that it is God who blesses us with every good thing and every good person. James 1:17 says, every good thing and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, in whom there's no variation or turning, no shadow in him. And when we're thankful together, that'd be like in a gathering like this, or a gathering like hopefully you were able to attend on Thanksgiving Day. When we're thankful together, it's an encouragement to each other. Thankfulness is good for you. Also, it's good for you because it reminds you of how fortunate and well looked after you are by the Lord. It can help you get over discouragement. Remember the old song, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you. Yeah, what the Lord has done. Yeah, it brings, giving thanks brings your life into a more positive, divine perspective. If you see things through God's eyes and what God is doing in your life, it frames the valleys and puts them someplace closer up to the mountaintops. And thankfulness helps you see God invading your days. And we will camp on that one truth, that God is with us. He is with us all the time, every moment, every day. Wow, life is a whole lot better to live because we know that we walk with the one who is eternal and loves us the most, no matter what. And most of you know that Mary and I, how many of you know, Mary and I lived in Lodi, California for 11 years. It was soon after the invention of the wheel, right after I got out of seminary. What you may not know, that despite what all those Napa travel magazines want to tell you and convince you of because they want you to be tourists in Napa Valley, is that Lodi, California is in fact the wine grape capital of America. Those Napa folks drive over the hill, they get the Lodi grapes, they take them back to Napa, they put them up over there, and they call them Napa Valley grapes. Lodi, California is also the Zinfandel grape capital of the world. We had a couple in our church out there one year. They, on 12 acres of Zinfandels, they cleared, after expenses, they cleared $250,000. Next year, they just about went belly up because everybody else planted Zinfandels. And the market went down on them. Anyway, out that way, grape farming is huge. They even have an annual grape festival with grape murals in the grape pavilion there in Lodi. One of the football teams are the Lodi Flames, and the Flames is a variety of tokay. It's a table grape, generally with seeds. Flame tokays have seeds. Wine grapes and table grapes are grown throughout the San Joaquin County and up into the southern part of the Sacramento County as well, or those valleys, those two valleys. When you live in that region for a number of years, you start to learn a little bit about raising grapes, which I happen to have picked up a little bit from hanging out with grape farmers. So, Ed, how in the world do you tie that in with thankfulness? Well, here's how. When I began looking at John chapter 15, Jesus' claim of being the vine, I remembered some of the stuff that I picked up when we lived out in California, and I grew thankful for all that comes to us when we stay connected to Jesus Christ, who is the vine. When we stay connected with him, there's a lot of good that comes out about that. And to what I found that to be thankful about each one of you, you know, I kind of like you. You're growing on me, for crying out loud. We've been here in March. It'll be 2 years since we've been here. Wow, starting to kind of like this group. In fact, by golly, I love you. Chuck, I'm a little... Sorry, Chuck. Yeah, Chuck knows I love him. Yeah, you know what that comes from? It comes with our connections to Jesus Christ, who is the true vine. That feeling that we have for one another, even when you're ornery, Even those, that deep feeling that we have for one another is because of our connectedness together with Jesus Christ, who is the true vine. In fact, everything that is good about you and everything that's good about me comes from Him. It's all due to Him working in our lives. So this morning, we're in John chapter 15. If you haven't opened your Bibles there yet, please do. This is the fifth monogram in the seven monograms we're in through John's Gospel, where he makes a claim, "I am the vine." Well, before we look in to the book, let's look up to the author of the book. Let's pray. Lord, we love you so much. We pray that as we open our hearts to hear from your word today, that you will speak to us, Lord, that you will demonstrate in us the truth that we need to hear in order to be better at being Christian, better children of yours, better on purpose, living for you in each day that we walk. And as we stay connected to you, Lord Jesus Christ, you give us so, so very much to be thankful for. And so we pray it in your name, Jesus. Amen. John chapter 15, we're going to read these first 11 verses. John chapter 15, beginning in verse 1. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser." That would be the pruner, the grape farmer. "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." When in verse 1, Jesus makes the claim, he refers to himself as the true vine. Surely he had in mind a number of Old Testament passages. A number of Old Testament passages refer to Israel as the vine. Now he's making that claim. Over the centuries, the grapevine became a symbol of Israel. By the time of the Maccabean revolt, it was even on the coinage in the day. That's that time between the Old Testament and the New Testament, that Maccabean revolt period. Ironically, all the Old Testament passages that use the vine symbol regard Israel as faithless and as the object of awful, terrible, no good, very bad punishment. Isaiah chapter 5 reads like this: "Let me sing now of my beloved, a song of my beloved concerning my vineyard. My well-beloved had a vineyard on a fertile hill. He dug it all around, removed its stones, and planted it with the choicest vine. And he built a tower in the middle of it, and also hewed out a wine vat in it. And he expected it to produce good grapes, but it produced worthless ones. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard than what I have done in it? Why, when I expected it to produce good grapes, did it produce worthless ones? So now let me tell you what I am going to do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it will be consumed. I will break down its wall, and it will become trampled ground. I will lay it waste. It will not be pruned or hoed, but briars and thorns will come up. I will also charge the clouds to rain no rain on it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his delightful plant. Thus he looked for justice, but behold, bloodshed. For righteousness, but behold, a cry of distress. And from Psalm 80, beginning of verse 8, you removed a vine from Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground before it, and it took up root and filled the land. The mountains were covered with its shadows, and the cedars of God with its boughs. It was sending out its branches to the sea and its shoots to the river. Why have you broken down its hedges so that all who pass that way pick its fruit? A boar from the forest eats it away, and whatever moves in the field feeds on it. O God of hosts, turn again now, we beseech you. Come, look down from heaven and see and take care of this vine, even the shoot which your right hand has planted, and on the son whom you have strengthened for yourself. It is burned with fire. It is cut down. They perish at the rebuke of your countenance. It's against that backdrop that Jesus makes this claim of himself being the one true vine. He's the source of life and fruitfulness for all who are attracted to him by grace through faith. The true branches have both their existence and their life solely, only because of the fact that they're joined to Jesus Christ. True fruitfulness, then, is delivered and is derived only from a good connection to the true vine. That's the only way for that to occur. And in him, we receive all that we need for life and fruitful living. So, what is it about the vine that makes it so very critical to the health and productivity of the branches? What is it about Christ, our true vine, that draws us to thankfulness and gives us joy? In other words, what do we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, our true vine? Well, first, with Christ as our true vine, we have the base from which to grow. We have the base from which to grow. In a grapevine, the rootstock and the trunk are absolutely crucial. Absolutely crucial. Because in the vine, the branches receive three things without which they almost never survive. And if by chance they happen to survive, then the fruit is going to be compromised. Those three things are support, stability, and soundness. Let's look at support first. Support speaks to the physical strength of the vine. You know, not all grapes grow on those really pretty trellises that you see in the pictures, especially the pictures that they want tourists to come and look at those grape vineyards. Not all of them grow on those pretty trellises that you see out there. There are a number of varieties of grapes that grow supported solely by the trunk and the vine. Right, the trunk of the vine is the sole support for them. Very often, you're going to see one vine that laps over another, and they support one another out there in the field. The older the vine, the stronger it is, because they get really big around. I've seen grapevines that big around, woody on the outside. The older, the better. When the grapes begin to form anew and grow, their weight becomes greater and greater. So, if the vine is weak, it can't support the tonnage of leaves and branches and fruit that it begins to bear. And so, every now and then, you'll have one that splits out there because the tonnage just gets to be too high. Not so with the Lord Jesus. In his amazing, great strength, we branches are fully supported. We're fully supported by the one single vine. One single vine. Next is stability in your outline. Stability comes from the root system. If the roots are weak, the whole plant is weak. Roots, they've got to spread out and they've got to go deep. They've got to spread out and go deep so that when the winds come, when the storms come, if the plant doesn't have strong roots, then they're going to be blown over. They're going to be washed away. They're going to be flooded out. They're going to be compromised when the weather starts getting really bad around them. In the same way, when you're connected to the true vine, the Lord Jesus, there is available to you a stability for life and living, and for standing strong when the storms of life come. And they do come, don't they? Go like this. Yes, they do. Absolutely, they do. Third is soundness. And by that I mean integrity. Integrity. The quality of the life of the vine and the fruit that it produces is limited, completely limited, to the soundness of the vine. If the vine is not sound, if the vine is frail, if it lacks integrity, if it lacks quality, then the whole plant is stunted. The whole plant is stunted, both in its health and its productivity. But since Jesus is supreme, He's supreme in His soundness, He's supreme in His quality, He's supreme in His integrity, then we who abide in Him have been endowed with the amazing possibilities called the abundant life. We're endowed with amazing possibilities because of Him. You know what? That ought to generate in your hearts over-the-top thankfulness. That ought to make you smile. Praise the Lord. Jesus is the base from which we grow, from which we thrive. Okay, second, with Christ as our true vine, we have the basics for life and living. The basics for life and living, because the vine is our source of life. He's the source of life out in the branches. It's from the vine that life flows into them. It's from the vine that life flows into them and their fruit is produced. So it is with Jesus in every believer. John 1 says, in Him was life. John 3 says, whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Right. We heard from John 10:10 already, Jesus saying, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. So, the clear purpose of John's gospel is stated out in chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. Therefore, many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. Jesus is the source of new life and everlasting life. Life comes only from and through Him. All who are grafted into the Lord Jesus Christ live. He's the source of life in the branches. But John 15 is clear. Some have His life and some don't. Some have the life and some don't. Some are connected to Christ and others aren't. They may be in close proximity to one another. Those that are connected to Christ and those that are not, they may be in pretty close physical proximity to one another. Frankly, even emotional proximity to one another. Close friendships. Love can happen between people that are connected to Christ and those that are not connected to Christ. The proof of who's connected and who's not is in the growth. If the connection is not there, neither is the life. The connection to Christ is not there, neither is the life, neither is the productivity. But praise God, by placing your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your hope for heaven, your one and only hope for heaven, that makes the needed connection for new life and for everlasting life. That connection also gives us sustenance for nourishment. Gives us sustenance for nourishment. Just like the branches of a grapevine, believers need two things. We need nourishment and we need pruning. We need nourishment and we need pruning. Only when we have both are both growth and productivity in the Christian life sustained, even possible. Like the vine supplies the branches with the fuel they need, with the moisture that they need, the nutrients out of the soil that they need, so Jesus Christ, our true vine, fuels us. How does he do that? He does that through his word. He does that through worship. He does that through fellowship with one another. He does that in times of solitude. It's good for you to get away and to be quiet with the Lord and let him minister in you. John 15, 1 and 2. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, so that it may bear more fruit. So, as the vine dresser, that'd be God the Father prunes us for productivity. If you're going through a crummy time in your life, it's God pruning for productivity. He's pruning for productivity. With some plants, if you want a good crop, you prune back the newest growth on the plant, like some fruit trees. That new growth is called suckers. Suckers. That's those little bitty, teeny little branches that start out farther down on the limbs, farther down on the trunk. And you know what suckers do? They draw away nourishment from the rest of the plant. They draw away nourishment from the older growth that produces, which produces the most fruit. Not so with grapes. Grapes are pruned very severely. Very severely. Maybe I've told you, maybe I haven't. Mary and I grew grapes when we lived out in Texas before we moved up here. We had three grapevines in our backyard, two varieties of table grapes growing out there. I created a little trellis line up here and a trellis line down here for them along our northern fence. And they, boy, they began to grow like crazy out there. And I don't know about you, but boy, homegrown table grapes make terrific grape pie. Anybody had grape pie before? My bride makes grape pie. It's really, really good. Especially with ice cream on top. Oh, well, let's go to lunch. I'll tell you, when it came early spring, like February or real early March at the latest, we hacked those things back so very severely. You know, here's the vine. The vine sticks was sticking up by the time we moved up here, sticking up out of the ground, just about that far, about this big around. And we slashed that thing back from having many branches going off of it to having four, a total of four. Two to go up to the top trellis and go out, two to come up to the bottom trellis and go out. Only eight buds did we leave. That means sometimes we were cutting off 20 feet and we're leaving about four. Just a few buds on the end. Everything comes from that. And you're cutting down to something, a branch that is about the size of my pinky finger, because that's 2 years old. It's newer growth. And on grapes, the fruit grows more profoundly off the new growth than off of the old growth. Out in the fields out in California, you see these 100-year-old grape vineyards out there with the stalks like this big around. They look like big bird claws that the big flock of birds flew into the ground in marching orders in rows, perfect rows, with the big feet sticking out like this. And on the end of one would be a talon about this long, about 6 inches. From all that growth, sometimes they would grow 20, 25 feet. The vine dresser hacks them back to about this far. You know why he's doing that? He is forcing them to abide in the vine or wither and eventually die. He forces the vine dresser, which I got to be in Texas, hacks the vine, prunes severely so that it must abide in the vine or die, become non-productive again. For the branch to produce to its greatest potential, it's got to be cut back to within inches of the vine. You're going to be there, or you're not going to do anything at all. What a great understanding the Heavenly Father has of us, and that we can have of Him as we know Him better. For Him, from Him we receive life. From Him, we are sustained by His deep knowledge of what's absolutely best for us. God knows all there is to know about you. And one, He likes you anyway. Two, He loves you anyway. And when you abide in Him, He gives you all that you need to produce much fruit. When you abide in Him, He gives you all that you need to live a productive life. That ought to make you thankful that it's all there for you. It's all there. Third, with Christ as our true vine, we have the basis for fruitfulness and joy. The work that God does in the life of all who abide in Him becomes the source for fruitfulness and the cause for joy. From Jesus, to each and all who abide in Him comes perpetual fruit. Perpetual fruit. Chapter 18, verses 5 and 8. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Verse 8, my Father is glorified in this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. You know, we've talked about Greek tenses quite a bit over this last year and a half. This is present tense. And you know the function of the Greek present tense is continuous action. It's action that goes on and on and on. It's the energizer bunny tense in the Greek language. It keeps going and going and going. You bear and bear and bear more fruit, much fruit, as you abide in the Lord Jesus Christ. You keep on and keep on producing fruitful living and service to Him. You see Galatians 5, verses 20 and 20, 22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit begin to pour forth in your life in the way that you touch other people as you live abundantly for Him. I believe as you abide in Christ, you're going to see the fruit of people coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ through your words to them, through your service on their behalf. And when you stay connected to the Lord Jesus Christ more and more, I believe that you're gonna be blessed. You'll be a blessing to others. You'll be blessed by that beyond your own expectations. Frankly, even beyond your hopes. God will use you beyond what you ever imagined of yourself. Plus, you'll notice that you are experiencing in Him or through Him effectual prayer. Prayer that works. Prayer that gets traction. Abiding in the true vine, you're going to see your prayers being answered more and more. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done. Oh Lord, won't you give me a Mercedes-Benz? Well, maybe that Janis Joplin song ain't so true. that's a huge promise. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. That seems too good to be true, doesn't it? But it is true. It is true. When you are abiding in Christ and His word is abiding in you, you will naturally and sincerely pray according to His will to bring glory to Him and blessing to others. I'm going to read that again. When you are abiding in Christ and His word is abiding in you, you will naturally and sincerely pray according to His will and to bring glory to Him and blessing to others. And that's the kind of prayer that God always says yes to. Lord, help me to be a blessing to others. Okay. Lord, glorify yourself through me, my thoughts, my words, my actions. Okay, He's going to do that. He comes through as you are abiding and as you are in this kind of relationship and His words abide in you. So if you want to have impact in your life, if you want to have effectiveness in your praying, you know what to do? Abide in Christ. Abide in Christ and allow His word to penetrate deep down inside you, to burrow all the way down into your heart. Okay, finally, all of this ought to produce in you what I'm calling celestial joy or heavenly joy. You will experience a heavenly, heaven-sent, deep down joy and thankfulness that is going to supersede, it's going to overcome all of your circumstances. As you abide and keep on abiding in Jesus, the true vine, verse 11 becomes true in your daily walk. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. Wow! Perpetual, celestial, heavenly joy is possible. It is promised as you abide in Christ. For all who are truly connected to Jesus, the true vine, there is so much available in which we can find true thankfulness, joy, and reason to praise Him. Reason to praise Him. So how, with all that available, could anybody in their right mind not desire to seek the treasure of abiding in Christ? And the word is, they can't. They're nuts. Because this is the only way. Abiding in Christ is the only way. As you abide in Christ, you're going to have every need. Right? Scriptures say, my God will supply all your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. If you abide in Christ, you're going to have all that you ever want, because you're going to want things His way as you abide in Him. Because all you need and all you want will be Him. All you need and all you want are going to be Jesus. Isn't that true? Very, very true. So, you know what to do? Abide in Christ. He's going to take care of everything else. Right? Do you do that one thing? One thing. Let's pray now. Lord, we love You a whole bunch. We want to live productive lives for You. We want to honor You with our lives. The way to doing that, Lord, is to abiding into You, to stay close to You, to stay constantly connected to You, and then to let You do Your thing in and through us. So, Lord, we are grateful for the life that comes from You, and we say it with love and praise and thanksgiving in Your name, Jesus. Amen.